But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. In these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus here this evening. We thank you for the songs that were sung. Thank you for the ministering to our hearts. And Father, the comfort that it brought. Father, the excitement that it brought to my heart. Father, the joy. Father, that has just been implanted in my heart by singing these songs this evening. Be around God's people. Father, hearing the voices of the children of God. Father, being part of the family of God tonight. Father, being part of the church. And God, just having a part in it, dear God, gives me very much of my heart, dear God, a thrill. And I'm so glad that you saved me. I'm glad, dear God, that you have chose that, dear God, I would serve in the way of pastoring and preaching. And Father, I want to just tell you I love you because of it and thank you for it. And God, we ask you now tonight, if you would, that you just meet with us. And God, you'd open our eyes and our ears. And Father, may our hearts receive the very Word of God. God, feed us tonight that we may grow. Father, that we may become more like your dear darling Son. Father, we love you now and we thank you for all that you've done. But Lord, we love you tonight just because of who you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, this morning we've got by a couple of points. And that first point that we talked about was knowing the past of the saved. We got that out of verse 3. We're not going to go over that again. And then we preached about, number 2, seeing the passion of the Savior. And in seeing the passion of the Savior, we saw the kindness appeared and love appeared and hope appeared. And here tonight we want to begin so we might finish the message. And the whole Christian experience, or the whole salvation experience, is seen from the point of view of looking now back to the day you got saved, that you was just a sinner, and now you become a servant. And so kind of looking back, we're coming forward. We saw the days of our past of being a sinner. And then we saw the passion that appeared with God. And now we're going to look at number 3, the experiencing the power of salvation. We saw the passion of the Savior. Now we're going to experiencing the power of salvation. And boy, if you're saved tonight, you have to come to the conclusion that you have experienced the power of salvation. Salvation is an experience. Amen. It's an experience that you'll have to go through, that you have to be part of. Salvation doesn't happen because of an inheritance. Salvation doesn't happen haphazardly. Salvation doesn't happen if you don't know what happened. Salvation don't come about you in a secret way. But there's an experience that takes place. Ask Paul whether he had an experience in his salvation. Ask Peter. Ask John. Ask anyone else and everyone else tonight who's ever been saved, and they'll tell you the salvation experience. Amen? And most of the time when somebody's asking you a testimony, what they're asking you basically is, tell me your experience of your salvation. Tell me about the experience of what happened to you. And so I want to talk about this evening, the experiencing the power of salvation. There was a power that you've experienced that created salvation in your life. It tells us very clearly right here what that experience was. And we see the first one in verse 5. We see that it is mercy and not man. Mercy and not man. You don't experience salvation alone. It's going to take mercy for you to experience the power of salvation. We see that in verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. The experience of salvation is about the mercy of God. Amen? And so having the mercy of God, it's not about the man. If it was about the man this evening, then some men would be saved and some men would not be saved because it would determine on the man. And so the experience isn't about a man. The experience is about mercy. Amen? experience is not about what a man can do or can't do, but it's about what mercy has done. Amen? And so in that thought, it helps me. It gives me a joy to know that my salvation experience does not depend upon me. It does not cause me to have done something or be someone or be somewhere in order for me to experience the power of salvation. It's all about the mercy of God. Amen? In other words, the mercy of God is brought forth to me in the way of experience of salvation. We didn't deserve it. Amen? And so, the power of salvation, the experience of it, will give you to the place where you say, you know what? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the mercy. Amen? Think about what you were in the past. Think about the passion. And then think about the mercy that God shed abroad on our lives. Amen? Who put forth into our hearts His mercy, and it's something that you and I didn't deserve. Amen? I tell you the second thing that we didn't deserve it, but we didn't earn it. Mercy is not earned. Amen? Mercy is not deserved. Also, mercy must be received. Amen? And so tonight I just want to see and show you that mercy is what the power of salvation took place in our lives, not man. And so if there's any way and any thought in your mind tonight that it was you that had some sort of the power of your salvation, you're dead wrong. Amen? But the salvation that's being taught today, the salvation that's being preached today, has everything to do with man. Has everything to do with man's prayer. Amen? I mean, you know, it's a funny thing to me that a lot of people think that you have to pray in order to be saved. Well, I want to question you here tonight. If that's so, the man on the thief on the cross next to Jesus would tell me his prayer. Tell me the prayer of Paul. Tell me the prayer of Levi there at the table of receipts. Tell me the prayer of Peter, of John. Tell me the prayer of anyone and everyone. How about the jailer? How about Cornelius? How about the Ethiopian eunuch? Tell me the prayer of those guys. Where is it recorded anywhere in the Bible where you must pray? But I can tell you something this tonight, that whenever you get saved and you experience the power of salvation, it's always mercy. It's always mercy, never man. And so tonight, in that we see that the mercy and not man. Now what is mercy though? Mercy is not giving to us what we deserve. That's mercy. You can write down that definition if you want to. Mercy is not giving to us what we deserve. You know, if God was fair tonight, if God was just tonight in that being fair, all of us would deserve hell, and we do deserve hell, but that's what we would get. That's what we receive if God was fair. But God's not fair. And thank God that He's not fair, but God's mercy is not giving to us what we deserve. Why, the word mercy also would mean that something that we earned. The wages of sin is death. Amen? What we have earned for sin is death. Separation with God and the eternal hell of misery of hell. And yet you and I this evening that are saved and born again will never see hell, will never find misery because we've experienced the power of salvation and that is mercy. Amen? Something that we didn't get that we deserved. Amen? Thank God for mercy here this evening. I want to show you the second thing about mercy. Mercy always implies kindness and the very compassion of God that withholds punishment even when justice demands it. Let me read that again. Mercy implies kindness and compassion that withholds punishment even when justice demands it. That is the very definition, meaning of mercy. If you want to know what the very word means tonight, that's what it means. Mercy implies kindness and compassion that withholds punishment even when justice demands it. None of us tonight deserve, earn, or is worthy of God's salvation. Amen? And yet if you're saved tonight, you have experienced the power of salvation by the way of mercy. Thank God for His mercy tonight. I will show you the second thing is that the power of salvation is not only mercy, not man, but the power of salvation is washing and not works. Washing and not works. Look there in verse 5. The Bible says, and by the washing of regeneration. The washing of regeneration. What does that mean tonight? It means the cleansing of sin by the blood
of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that cleanses our sin is His blood. Amen? The washing of regeneration. You'll not ever be saved without this power. You'll never be born again. You'll never be part of the family of God without the blood of the Lamb. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washing you. And that word washing means a thorough wash. It means that when you get washed inside. You get washed thoroughly. You get washed completely. There's not a portion of you that's still dirty. There's not a portion of your life that's still remembered by God. There's not something within your lifetime that God will bring forth and bring up again. When you get saved and when you experience the power of salvation by the washing of the regeneration, you'll find that the power of blood of Jesus Christ is a pure blood. It's not contaminated. It's not defiled in any way. Friend, you find that it's a blood that's purified. It's a blood that is plenty. In other words, He has enough blood to carry your sin, Brother Raymond, your sin, Sister Trish, your sin, dear sister. I mean, everybody wants to be born again who experiences the power of salvation. You'll find that this blood is not only pure, but you'll find this blood is plentiful. Amen? I say to you, it has a lot of it. And I say to you, unless you experience this blood, the blood of the Lamb tonight, and you get your sins cleansed, then you'll find that the power of the blood will create and cause you to be in the child of God and salvation by His glory. Can I say to you, friend, it's not works. It's the washing and not works. There's a multitude of people tonight are wearing themselves completely out trying to do the right thing. Oh, they're trying to stop the sins of their life. They're trying to start up the goodness of their life. They're trying to be a good little old Christian. They're trying to wear the right clothes. They're trying to read the Bible. They're trying to pray. They're trying to do right. They're trying to be a godly father and a godly mother. Man, they are absolutely really trying. They've got good intentions. They've got good motives. They've got good ideas. And they're really in their heart, man. They're really doing it with all that they've got. But they fall. They fail. They'll never reach. They don't have peace. They don't have rest. And friend, finally they'll fall out because only the flesh can take only so much. And next thing you know, they're out. Amen? I believe a multitude of people today have got deceived and are being deceived in thinking that salvation is something of a work. Salvation is something of a doing, something of going to a place and doing and performing a ritual or coming and doing something of a way of getting or maybe earning or maybe something making God look upon them and say, and God smiles in what they do, either by feeding the poor or clothing the naked or meeting the need of some destitute person or maybe coming to church and singing and leading the singing and playing the piano and even preaching and teaching a message. And yet, friend, you'll find them not being saved. The only way you'll be saved is through the washing. Get that clear tonight. Every religion that I know of tonight, their salvation is based upon works. The only religion that I know that is based upon the washing of the Lord Jesus Christ is not even a religion. It's a relationship. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Christianity tonight is the only, and I'll say the word religion because I don't know any other word to explain it, that has nothing to do with works, just the washing. The cleansing of sin tonight. Number two, I want you to notice that the washing not works, but the renewing and not religion. I want you to notice there in verse 5 it says, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What is the power, the experiencing the power of salvation? Friend, it's washing, not works, but it's renewing and not religion. The word renewing here means the converting of the soul by birth. That's what it means tonight. If you just look it up and find out. In other words, tonight, to have the renewing of the Holy Spirit means to be born of the Spirit. It means to be born again. It means to be born from above. It means tonight to have a spiritual rebirth. It means to have a spiritual restoring, a spiritual renewing. In other words, you've been made new again. You've been restored to the freshness of where you used to be. You have returned to the soundness and wholeness of what you ought to be. For example, tonight, back in the days of Adam and Eve, they were in a perfect state. Amen? They had it all within God. They walked with God and talked with God. Amen. They were in the midst of God. God spoke to them. They were in the presence of God, which tells me there was no sin in Adam and no sin in Eve. Amen. And it tells me they were in a perfect state and a perfect mind, a perfect heart. Everything about them was perfect. And boy, when the Bible talks about the renewing of the Holy Ghost of God, and friend, when what happens is we go back to the state of Adam and the state of Eve, you get renewed to the freshness. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Spirit died. But friend, when the Holy Spirit renews you, your spirit comes alive. Amen? That's called being born again. That's called being born from above. Born of the Spirit tonight. And so the power of salvation tonight is renewing, not religion. Amen? Renewing, not religion. It's not some practice that you hold to. Not some ritual that you perform. And not some tradition that you keep. Amen? It is the renewing of the Holy Spirit of God. The converting of the soul. Can I say to you that Christianity is the only one that deals with the soul? I give you an example tonight. Islam. If you want to become part of the Islam, part of the Muslims, all you have to say is that God is Allah and the Prophet Muhammad is the Prophet. Very, very small. I mean, that's all you got to say. It is a mental thing. It is a verbal thing. And then all you got to do is start doing what they do. To go to their mosque, bow down to the east, get their little pad, go to Mecca one time in the year, and do all. If you want to become a Hindu, you don't have to be converted of your soul. All you got to do is start doing what they do. If you want to become a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon, all you got to do is just go start going to their classes and start believing what they believe in their doctrine. It's not converting them, no soul. But tonight, can I tell you, if you're ever going to experience the salvation of God, you're going to have to experience the power of salvation, and that is the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That is tonight the washing of regeneration. Amen? Tonight I'm so glad that we've got truth. I'm so glad tonight that it's the converting of the soul. It's the cleansing of sin tonight. I'm so glad tonight that God has given us the power to be saved and born again. I want to say here fourthly tonight that the power of salvation and experiencing that power is grace, but not power. I want to say to you, giving you what you don't deserve tonight is grace. Giving to you what you don't deserve tonight is grace. Mercy is not giving to you what you do deserve. Grace is giving to you what you don't deserve. Grace. Now the word grace tonight, verse 7, says that being justified by His grace. Being justified by His grace, this is experiencing the power of salvation. We find that in this, we find that the word grace means approval. It means approval. Tonight it also means acceptance. It also means attractiveness. Tonight, whenever the Bible says that it is that by being justified by His grace, He's saying that what I'm saying to you is that the word justified means to be rendered innocent. It means to be declared just. In other words, tonight there's no one justified in the sight of God. No one. Tonight not any of us can ever get to heaven because we're sinners, amen? And we're just rotten to the core. But I tell you tonight, if Jesus can render us justified, if Jesus can declare us to be innocent and just, in other words, God is saying, I approve of that. I accept that. Then I am attractive to that. And whatever that is tonight, which is you and I, it makes it attractive tonight. This is what grace is all about. And so tonight we are justified by grace. We are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ making us through the blood and through the Holy Spirit of God and regenerating us, that when God looks upon us, we have an approval. And we have been accepted into the beloved. And tonight you and I can have an attractiveness about it. That's grace. Hey, friend, we've come a long way so far. Remember? Remember when you look back at your salvation at the past? Man, how we were foolish sometimes and we were disobedient sometimes and We were deceived sometimes. We were serving our lust and we were living in pleasures and desires. And boy, we were nasty and ugly and just pathetic. And I say, well, we've come a long way so far, haven't we? I mean, we come from that place right there. And then the passion of Jesus appeared. His love, His kindness, and His hope appeared. And next thing you know, we have an experience with Jesus. And that experience tonight is His mercy. His experience that we have with Him is the regeneration. We have an experience with Him is the renewal of the Holy Spirit of God. And man, now we can be justified. Now we've been washed of our sins. Now we've been converted of the soul. Now we've been changed within. And when God looks upon us tonight, He can say, oh, it's by grace are you saved through faith. It is my acceptance of you. It is my approval of you. It is my attractiveness of you. You'll never be justified unless I approve it. And because of your washing, and because of your sins being forgiven, and because of the converting of your soul, I can look down deep inside you tonight and I'm saying you're approved to go to heaven. That's what salvation is all about. It ain't about you trying to do anything. It's all about God looking in us and approving us. And friend, when you get justified, it's by His grace. The transaction is made. The reformation is done. Whew. Oh, when you experience the power of salvation, boy, you've experienced God, Jesus, the Savior. I'm so glad. I want to say thirdly here that not only is the cleansing of sin by the blood of the Lamb, the converting of the soul by the birth, but there's the changing of the sinner. Look at verse 6. It says, which He had shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is an important aspect because, see, we've got to go in order now. I told you that this is sort of the whole experience or the whole picture of what salvation is. And so let's go back for just a moment. We were a sinner in the past. The passion of Christ appeared. And then we experienced the power. And now, since we experienced the power, now we have the soul converted, the sin cleansed. And now we've having, at this point, verse 6, what He's saying is now that we've been justified, we've been approved, we've been rendered just, declared, Jesus is declaring to God that I am righteous. And since that took place, now the Spirit of God, verse 6 is talking about the Spirit of God, is now poured into us. Look at that. Boy, I like it. I mean, verse 6 says, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, it was the blood of the Lamb that cleansed your sin. It was your soul that was converted because of the renewing of the Spirit. And it was the justification by Jesus Christ that now you have been accepted in the Beloved. And now that you got cleaned up, now that you got emptied out, and now that all that you are pulled out, everything that was in you has now come out. And verse 3 is no longer there. Verse 3 is no longer in the mind of God. He does not see it. He does not acknowledge it. He has cast the sins as far as the east is from the west. You remember them no more. Amen. You become a vessel that's completely emptied. And in verse 6 it says that what He takes that empty vessel and He pours into that empty vessel abundantly, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight, can I say to you, if you're saved and born again, you are full of all, of every ounce, of every pound of the Holy Spirit of God. You will not get more. Don't pray and ask God to give you more of the Spirit because you're not going to get it. You have got everything that has ever been for God to be in you tonight. Amen? Now you can pray for the power of His Spirit. You can pray for the leading of His Spirit. You can pray for the teaching of His Spirit. You can pray for a lot of attributes of the Spirit. But as far as the Holy Ghost of God that's in you tonight, you've got every bit of it. There's not a second blessing. There's not coming a time when you get saved and all of a sudden you get baptized into the Spirit. You'll not get that. Amen? There's no such thing as that. Friend, when you get born again and saved, right here in verse 6, it just tells us in the whole picture of salvation is now that God pours the Holy Spirit in you, all the Spirit, and then this Spirit that's now in you makes you spiritual. And so tonight, if any of us has any smoke to blow, if any of us can bump our gums, if any of us had any boasting to boast of, if anybody have anything tonight to really just raise up the roof and say, look at me, look what I am, and look what I've done, and look who I've become, tonight, it's nothing. For it is the very Spirit of God tonight that even makes you spiritual. Anything spiritual about me is His Spirit. I have nothing about me tonight that's spiritual. Not one ounce of me is spiritual. He is in me, makes me spiritual. The only thing tonight that I can go from here to the throne room of grace tonight, the only reason I can reach that is the Spirit of God. The only reason tonight that I have any relationship with God tonight is the Spirit of God. The only way that I can open that Bible and I can understand it and I can read it and I can comprehend it and I can love it and I can adore it and I can even obey it is the Spirit of God. The only reason why I come to this church and I come and preach and pastor is the Spirit of God. The only reason tonight that I don't go back into the world and I don't go back into the way I was and how I live is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has been poured upon me and the abundancy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Jesus gets all the glory. Christ gets all the credit. And it's the Holy Spirit that is in the presence of the indwelling of the believer. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, tonight. It just makes sense to me, don't it, you?
Yeah.
I mean, salvation is made clear here. Understandable. And friend, when somebody gets saved and born again, if they don't recognize, and they might not know all this terminology, they might not know all the what you're talking, what I'm talking about tonight, because it is kind of deep tonight, a little bit, not too much, but a little bit deeper than just an old normal Joe, amen, a spiritual Sally or somebody like that, you know, and they may understand all the details of it. But what I'm saying tonight is this: is there has to be a pass of someone, and they got to. And Jesus has got to appear to them somewhere down the line. And then they're going to have their sins forgiven. And they're going to have their soul converted. And they're going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And friend, in doing that, you'll find a change in their life. If that's not happening in their life, they know not God. They have no idea. They have no clue. The Spirit of God will not come into a vessel that's not been converted nor cleansed. It will not do that. Well, tonight, can I say that the changing of the sinner is because of the pouring of the Holy Spirit in them? Friend, religion tonight is spiritless. Religion tonight is dead. Religion tonight is bondage. Tonight I can go through religion after religion and after religion, and I can tell you those who participate in that religion are dead bondage. That they are held to the images and to the statutes and to the formalities and to the structure of that religion. And if they don't hold to what that religion says to hold, well then they have no hope in any way. Can I tell you tonight where the Spirit is, there's liberty. Friend, we tonight, because the Spirit of God has been poured into us, we are now free from sin. There's not sin shall not have dominion over you. There's absolutely no way that a Christian, a child of God, that the Holy Ghost of God has been poured into them, will have the practice of sin. Never will have a habit of sin. Never! You can disagree with me, want to. I used to say this a lot, but I don't say it too much, but you can be wrong if you want to. Because when the Holy Ghost of God comes in you, friend, you'll not find a habitual practice of sin in there. Because you're free of sin, Brother Raymond. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, in verse 13, He says, "Your sins shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under what? Under grace." Tonight, I'm just telling you. 1 John chapter 3 says the same thing. He that is born of God cannot sin. All I'm saying tonight is when this Holy Ghost comes in, you become free from sin. Then you come free to righteousness. Friend, when you finally get the Holy Spirit of God in you, you finally have the freedom to do right. You ever tried that before? Whenever you was back in the past? You know, and one day you decide, you know what, I think I'm going to do better. I think I'm not going to cuss anymore because that's just bad. And you go 3 days without cussing on the fourth day, man, you just can't do it anymore. You've got to just let a word out. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm not going to look at pornography anymore. I'm not going to
I'm not going to go carousing anymore. And you might stop for 3 weekends, but on the 4th weekend, man, you just do it all up and catch up. You don't have the freedom to do right. But friend, when the Holy Ghost of God gets in there, you finally got the freedom to do righteousness. The freedom. Freedom from sin. Hey, there's also a freedom to live. Tonight, you and I are not under any bondage. You know, tonight, none of us tonight are under anyone demanding us to do a certain thing or be a certain way. Tonight, if I was a pastor of this church, and I am, and I demanded you to wear a certain wardrobe, I would be creating you not the Spirit of God, but I'd be creating you some of bondage. To wear your hair a certain way. To do a certain thing. To live a certain way. To live in a certain location. To come to a church in this place here. This is the only church in all the world that loves God. You say, that's wrong. That's not true. So freedom gives us the freedom to live. Amen? And then we have the freedom to die. All of us tonight, because the Spirit of God can die with grace. We don't have to die in fear. We ain't got to die with being afraid of tomorrow. We don't have to die worried about where our soul's going to go. The Spirit of God gives us this freedom. Grace tonight. I want to say fourthly tonight, not only is experiencing the power of salvation, but I want to show you having the privilege of saints. And once again, we're talking about the very whole of what Christianity is. The whole Christianity from the day of the past to the passion of the Savior and to the power of salvation. And then we come to the very privilege of the saints. Now, you can't get to the privilege of the saints without going through the experiencing the power of salvation, right? And so you can't get to verse 7 unless you go through verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. Please don't try to skip that tonight. Because everybody likes the privilege here. Everybody in all the world wants the privilege. But they don't want to go to verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. They don't want to do that. They want to skip over and take on this verse 7 and feel like, man, listen, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Everybody wants that. But friend, that's a privilege tonight. And it's a privilege only to the saints. I want you to notice something. Number one, it mentions this word heir. We should be made heirs. Tonight, to be an heir is a privilege. It's not a right. We don't have a right tonight to be an heir. We have a privilege to be an heir. You wasn't born an heir. You was made an heir. Amen. You follow me tonight? God don't owe you anything. But God made you an heir. Amen? Now listen to what the very word heir means. Well, this excites your soul. If you ain't said amen in a long time, this is a good place. I'll just give you a little hint. This is a good place right here to say amen. The word heir means entitled to inherit property. Entitled to inherit property. I wonder tonight if there's going to be anything in heaven that you're going to have inheritance for. What you going to be entitled to? I know this. The Bible says that there's going to be a mansion prepared. Who did it say He's prepared for? For me. Know what it says? It says I go to prepare a mansion for everybody. For somebody. For you. That kind of makes it a little personal, don't it, Brother Jimmy? I mean, I'm actually going to have some property up in heaven. I'm going to have a place up here, friend. I call my own. Amen? And it's going to be an heir. I'm entitled to it. I've become an heir just because, friend, that I've experienced the power of salvation. I've experienced the blood of the Lamb. I've experienced the renewal of the Holy Ghost of God. I experienced the grace of God and been justified before Him. And now I become an heir. What a privilege it is tonight to know that not only I have something here on this side, but on that side over yonder, I've got some property that I'm going to be entitled to. It ain't going to be yours. I'll let you come visit. Yeah. You might just walk over across the gold street there. I guess you know. But tonight, I understand I'm going to have the title deed. Hey, it also means the word heirs means a legal claim to a title. Legal claim to a title. Tonight, friend, when you get saved and born again, you become a legal claim to a title. Legally, I'm going to heaven. Amen? I'm an heir tonight. Hey, the Bible says I'm an heir of God and what? A joint heir with Christ. You know what that means tonight? That means that whatever God has is mine, but whatever Jesus has, He shares with me. Amen? I'm a joint heir with Christ. So all that Christ owns and all that Christ has and all that Christ ever created and all that Christ ever has within His hand and holding tonight, I am a joint heir of that tonight. I'm rich! I won the... No, I didn't win the lottery. Brother Peter, I finally got to be rich and famous. Full of fame tonight. All of heaven rejoiced whenever I got saved. Amen? That's what the Bible said. And so if all of heaven rejoiced when I got saved, guess what when I get there? They're going to say, here comes the guy who owns everything. Woo! I may not be nothing today. I may not ever make the Houston Chronicle. I may not ever make anybody's top list. I'll never be in the who's who. And I know I'm nothing and not much of a preacher tonight. But friend, I'm an heir. I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. The Bible says it right here. Amen for that. Folks, not only is the privilege of saints as being an heir, but the privilege of saints is having heaven. The Bible says there in verse 7, He says, of eternal life. Heaven. Eternal life tonight. Listen, man, what a privilege it is tonight. Do you know that you don't get saved just to go to heaven? You get saved because of Jesus. Amen. You get saved because you're one pathetic person and you're going to head to a devil's hell because you'll sin. And boy, but then you learn about Jesus because He appears to you. And when He appears to you, He gives you the faith to believe in Him. And then He grants you repentance to turn from your sin and to turn unto Him. And when you believe on God and put your trust in Him and turn from your sin, you become a child of God. And now you have the privilege of eternal life. Eternal life is not the goal of being saved. Just as the very goal of being saved is hell. Neither one of those are very points in order to be saved, hell or heaven. Jesus Christ is the point. You follow me? But the privilege of being saved is eternal life. Oh, the last thing I want you to notice in this privilege is hope. Hope. The word hope tonight is expectation. Expectation. Now let me explain this to be hope tonight. You know, if you right now, tonight, and I'm going to use a silly illustration, but right now there's a mailbox out there. Everybody seen the mailbox? Alright? This is what this word hope means. If I go out that door right there, and I go take a right, and go out the next door and take a left, when I get around that corner, my expectation is that mailbox will be right there. Alright? Now, that's hope. See, a lot of people think hope is, I hope. There's a possibility it won't be there. There's a possibility it will be there. That's not hope. Hope is, when I get around that corner, I expect it to be there. Does that make sense to me? A lot of people got hope all messed up. They think, I hope I go to heaven. They don't have no confidence in that. They don't have no assurance of that. But tonight, the hope that God's given us, because that's a privilege that we gain as saints, is our hope is the expectation. In other words, when I die, I expect to be in heaven. If I don't die and Jesus comes, I expect to go in the rapture. It's not that I might. It's not that I should. It's not that I could. It is that I am. That's what hope is tonight. I want to get that clear tonight. A lot of people think hope is something that you can't tell. You don't know. You've got to wait and see. That's not hope tonight. Hope is expectation with confidence. Amen? I bet you everybody knew that, didn't you? Hope. Tonight, and that's the privilege of saints. I want to say here, lastly now, enjoying the practice of servants. Now, we started it down here as being the past, knowing the past of sinners are saved. And then we went the process now. We went through the past. We went through the passion. We went through the power. Amen. And we come up to this place right here now tonight. Then we come to the place of having the practice. See, this is part of salvation tonight. You don't get saved and think you live any kind of way you want to live. There's a practice involved. And so tonight, if we are really saved and born again, we're going to enjoy tonight the practice of being a servant. That is in verse 8. So this is a faithful saying. In these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Number one, we are now under orders. See, when you get saved and born again, you find yourself now under orders as a servant. You're now under control. The Spirit of God is what's controlling you, gives you influence and control. You're now under leadership. Jesus is now Lord. And so now you have leadership. Now you have control, and now you've got orders. And here are the orders in verse 8. Number one, you're now, a responsibility has now been given to you. A responsibility is given. Now here's the responsibility. Affirm constantly. This is the responsibility of every Christian, if you're really truly born again. The word affirm means state positively. State positively. In other words, open your mouth and speak out positively. It means with confidence declare. It means to be true, asserting a fact is so. And so what the Bible is saying is that we need to affirm publicly, verbally, declaring and asserting constantly. The word constantly means persistently, continually, and faithfully. And so in the way of meanings today, what are we going to affirm? And what are we going to do it continually? What are we talking about here tonight? Well, it says, there in the verse it says, these things. What things? These things that I just preached this morning and tonight. For example, the depravity of man. Tonight, it is our responsibility that we stand up and with great assertion and with great declaration, with great positivity, that every man and all the world is going to die and go to hell without Christ. Them are not cruel words. Them are not mean words. These are words that we have a responsibility to tell. Affirm constantly these things. That every man is deceived and every man is disobedient. Every man is serving their lust. Every man is living in pleasures and desires. Every man. Amen? We need to assert, we need to declare, not only is every man depraved, but Jesus, His love and His compassion, has He come to man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen? That we are to stand on that. We are to preach that. We are to be constant with that, faithful with that, continue with that. Don't turn your back on that. Don't be ashamed of that. Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. Jesus Christ's blood is the only power to forgive sins. Jesus Christ tonight is the Lord and He's Master. Jesus Christ tonight is God. Do not back up. Do not look away. Do not be ashamed. Do not stop talking and stop preaching and teaching. Confirm or affirm constantly, amen, these things. That the Holy Ghost of God comes into you and gives you power to live for Him. Amen. Speak these things. Speak the Word of God tonight. You know what tonight? If we fail on our responsibility, the world will die and go straight to hell because they have no knowledge. Amen? You know why we are where we are tonight? Because the church has fallen in their responsibility to affirm constantly these things. To affirm constantly these things. How many people this week did you affirm constantly with these things? How many people did you talk to this week and told them that without Christ they're going to die and go to hell? How many people this week did you tell them that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? To get your sins forgiven is through Christ's blood only. How many have we done that with? When do we do that? Do we affirm constantly? Have we fallen on our responsibility? See, as a Christian tonight, we have responsibility. See, it ain't just now. Now we're saved and going to heaven, and so we're going to sit back and fold our arms and say, I made it. Everybody else can fend themselves now. Everybody can do whatever they want to do now. They want to come to church. And all I know is, I'm going to heaven when I die. That's a bad Christian. That's, I'm going to put it like this. That's a pathetic Christian. Amen? If all you are is just so satisfied and content that you're going to heaven tonight, there's something wrong. Something definitely has went wrong somewhere. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying tonight you're not doing and completing your responsibility. Number two, not only have we been given responsibility, but we have been given accountability. The Bible says there in verse 8, it says that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That is an accountability tonight. If you believe in God tonight, you have an accountability to do two things. Number one, this very words of careful to maintain means thinking about practicing good works. Thinking about practicing good works. That's what it means. See, tonight, if you don't think about doing good, guess what? You're not going to do it. If you're not going to think about it tonight. Tonight, we've got to think. God's given us a mind. And we've got to think. We've got to think out of the box sometimes. We've got to think more than anybody else around us is thinking. You know what? And one of our accountabilities is this, is God holds us accountable that we think to do good. We've got to maintain good works. How many people do you know tonight who say they're Christian and love God, but they're full of bad works? How many? They first started off because they stopped thinking about doing good. Amen? We've got accountable now. We're going to give accountability to God one day about but thinking of doing good work. Then also the word maintaining means to be anxious about practicing good works. Now the very good works tonight in which you're speaking of is a honest and holy life. That's what that word means. Good works is an honest, holy life. So let me put it like this. Every one of us are accountable to think and to be anxious to practice an honest and holy life. That's what we're accountable for. Are we accountable to make sure that every missionary in every field have enough food to go forward? No. Are you accountable for everybody to have a car in America? No. Are you accountable for the light bill to be paid here at this church? No. Are you accountable for the neighbor next door having something to drink tonight? No. I'm going to tell you what you're accountable for. You're accountable that you will thank and be anxious about practicing a holy, honest life. That's what you're accountable for. It kind of just makes it easy, but yet it makes it hard. Because honestly, I know it's getting late, but honestly, we put a lot of our efforts, we put a lot of our energies, and a lot of surroundings around us, and a lot of endeavors, and a lot of things that really mean absolutely nothing. And somehow we forget that we're accountable not to feed the world, not to clothe the world, not to be kind to the world, but to live an honest and holy life. That's what the word good works mean tonight. And if the church tonight can ever get a hold of this, is just be accountable to live a holy and honest life, you'll find the attraction that the church will bring. That's right. You know why the church today is looked on it as something down? Because of so the dishonesty is in it. And the unholiness that is shown. I wonder last night, I went to the crawfish festival. I don't suck the heads of those crawfish if you're thinking that. I don't do that. I eat the tails though, and they're pretty nasty itself. They are good. But I was looking, and I'm going to say there's 1,000 people there, and I know there's more. And I'm going to say there was 900 out of 1,000 that had a beer in their hand. Crawfish and beer. It just seems like it goes together. My mind and my heart, I was thinking, how many of those 900 people with a beer in their hand, if I would ask if they're a Christian, would tell me yes? Not maintaining an honest and a holy life. And that is their very, very accountability. So, when the other 100 look at them and say, you're a Christian and you're doing what I'm doing, it destroys. Amen? Here lastly tonight, there's a practicality given. He said, because you can have, if you do this responsibility and you have this accountability, the practicality of that is that it's very good and profitable unto men. You want to be good to men? Live an honest and holy life. Confirm the things of this book. Affirm them constantly. You want to be profitable to your grandchildren? Affirm constantly. Live an honest and holy life. You want to be profitable to your neighbors? Affirm constantly and live a holy and honest life. You want to be a help and profitable to your family? Affirm constantly the Word of God and live a holy and honest life. If you want to be a blessing and profitable to this church, affirm constantly and live a holy an honest life. We don't need your money. We don't need your works. We don't need your good efforts and the good energies. We need you to live a holy and honest life. That's what's going to be accountable for. We got to be more concerned about our responsibilities and our accountabilities than everything else in the whole wide world. Amen? If we ever get to that place as a Christian. Now, we've come a long ways, haven't we? We've come to the place of being deceived and foolish, living in sin, living in malice, and serving our lust. And now we're servants of God, affirming, confirming this, or affirming constantly this. And now we have the privileges of being a saint and a servant of God. We've come a long ways. Let's not go back. Let's go forward. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Some of y'all's eyes are already closed.